My man, I ain't gonna make no promise. I'm proud, but I need.
No?
Yes.
Go.
If I said.
Sanitize.
All right.
Drink it, wash it.
Clean inside and out. Okay, we're in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse, we got down to verse 11. Zephaniah 2:11, minor prophets. The Lord's special forces of the Old Testament. Detail after detail after detail of the tribulation, millennium, that you don't get in the New Testament. You won't find a lot of this stuff in the New Testament. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 11. Zephaniah is a second advent book. About all it talks about second advent, and most of it in here is wrath of God. The minor prophets warning people of what's coming. And we're still warning today, and it is still coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get here. Okay, verse 11. The Lord will be terrible unto them.
Mm.
Now, you don't hear that from Osteen.
Yeah.
You don't hear those name it and claim it preachers. You don't hear them talk about this stuff. They don't bring this stuff up. They don't want to mess up their income. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth.
Mm.
And men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. There's not going to be any mercy or any forgiveness at the second advent when Christ comes back.
That's right.
The time for mercy is now.
That's right.
When he comes back, he's coming back in wrath.
That's right.
And even when people are terrorized with what they see coming and what's happening and call on the Lord, it won't do them any good.
That's right.
Right.
There won't be any mercy at the second advent.
Yeah.
He's coming back in wrath. He says here that he will famish all the gods of the earth. Now, he's going to starve the people out just like they starve his people. He said, when are they going to starve his people? Revelation 13. Look at Revelation 13, 16, 17. The Jews, a lot of the Jews will starve to death in the tribulation if people don't help them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get over there in the Beatitude. It talks about people helping the Jews out in the tribulation. If they don't help them, they'll starve to death. Revelation 13, 16, 17, you'll be familiar with this. It has to do with a mark.
Right. 13, 16,
17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, mm-hmm, or the number of his name. Now the Jews that don't take this mark, and Gentiles, but especially the Jews, if they don't take this mark, they can't buy and they can't sell. They can't go down to IGA and buy their groceries. They don't have the mark.
Right.
And if they don't take the mark, they'll hunt them down just like a bunch of animals.
That's right.
And put them to death for not worshiping the beast.
You're right, brother.
And they're going to starve to death, most of them, except for the few remnant that gets to Petra, where the Lord takes care of them and feeds them. And that's why the Lord's going to pay them back when he comes back. He's going to starve the people here.
Going to give them double.
Give them double portion. Everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen, up there it says, and men shall worship him. Men shall worship him. That's talking about all the isles of the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
All this planet will worship Christ in the millennium after the second advent. Whoever's left after God's wrath poured out, and there won't be many left. That's almost going to wipe out the population of the world when this thing takes place. But whoever's left will worship Jesus Christ. They'll be forced to worship him. You don't have to worship him now.
That's right.
But in the millennium, they'll be forced to worship Jesus Christ. And if they don't worship him, he'll destroy them. Look at Malachi 1:11. We'll look at some verses on that. Worship in the millennium. Malachi 1:11. For from the rising of the sun, that's over in the east, from the rising of the sun even to the going down, the same, over the west, global, this is a global thing, shall my name, down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. Now, not only, you remember we talked a couple weeks back how they're going to have to go up to Jerusalem every year, once a year,
right,
to the temple and worship Christ. But that not only are they going to do it then, they're going to do it all year long, even in their houses. They're going to have incense burning unto the Lord. In every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, and saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord desires worship.
That's right.
People don't worship him now, but they will in the millennium.
He's going to
force it. He's going to force it. Look at Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. They'd be better off worshiping now, you know.
Right.
Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion, that's over in Jerusalem, out of Zion, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Look at Zechariah 14:16-17. Now you remember I told you that if he didn't go up, he's going to destroy him. He's going to destroy him, wipe him out. They don't go up yearly to worship him. I guess it's where that talks about that. Zechariah 14:16-17. Here's what's going to happen here. Let's see if I got the right there. Zechariah 14:16-17. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King.
Amen.
The Lord of hosts. And to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They'll do that every September, October, every year. That's when the Feast of Tabernacles is. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain.
Global warming.
Can you imagine what it would be like? Say they skip a couple of years going to Jerusalem. No rain for 2 years. You know what the place would look like with no rain for 2 years? I guarantee you they'll be going to Jerusalem.
California.
They'll be going to Jerusalem after no rain. Let's see what it says. 18. If the family of Egypt, if the nation of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, then there shall they get extra. They get an extra bonus here, if you call that a bonus. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's what's coming up in the millennium. They're going to go up and worship him every year.
That next verse is not just Egypt. It says all the nations that come not up to
what's
the feast.
Read that verse.
It said, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay, yeah. No rain and plus plagues, whatever that takes in. And most you want to see the definition of plagues, you can read Revelation. And you can read over in the Exodus. You can see about those plagues when he plagued Egypt trying to get him to let Israel go. So that's your definition of plagues that can come upon the planet for not worshiping Christ. You know, people take this stuff pretty light right now. You can mention Jesus Christ or God, people just shuck it off, don't think anything about it. But boy, it's going to cost them in the millennium. That shows you how serious it is.
Every jot, every tittle is going to be fulfilled.
Verse 12. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. Ethiopians. That's another group of Hamites. The Lord has a lot of things to say about these Ethiopians. And if you've read your Bible, you know that the curse on the that was put on Ham's seed in Genesis 9 is not lifted until after the millennium. Even in the millennium, they're not allowed to go into the temple. They can't go in. So that thing goes all the way through into eternity. African nations are headed toward being 100% Muslim today. All your African nations are headed toward Islam today. Notice he'll be slain by the sword. Now, what kind of sword is he going to use? Well, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of the Lord is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Now look at Revelation 19:15 on this sword at the second advent. I don't know. I can't. I don't exactly understand how that's going to work. If I could draw you a picture, I wouldn't know what to draw. Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth. Now this is the second advent. This is when Jesus Christ comes back with the armies of heaven. That's you, if you're saved, and the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. He comes back with the armies of heaven. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword.
It's a word of God.
That with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. I don't know exactly. I know the word, it's words or a word.
The word of God.
I don't know if he's going to come out there on that white stallion. I don't know if he's going to say drop dead and they're going to fall. I don't understand how all that's going to work, but I believe what it said.
I believe.
You know, you ought to believe the Bible even if you don't understand it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Read that, brother.
It says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked.
Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8.
Yeah, that's the next reference. Read that, my brother, while you got it.
Talks about, you know, the spirit of his mouth, again, talking about the word of God and the brightness of his coming. Wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders.
So he's going to speak, looks like. He's going to speak.
There's power in that word.
Think about this. He spoke this universe into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And that was before
the
sun.
He spoke and it stood
fast.
That was
before he created the sun. That was some kind of pure light.
Amen.
He said, let there be, and there was. And if he comes out there, you know, we've looked at that thing, there's going to be roughly 200 million people killed at the second advent in that army, in that battle, Armageddon. I don't know if he's going to say drop dead or I don't know how it's going to work. But I believe what it says. If I can't explain it.
He might quote a scripture.
Yeah, he could.
Of course,
his
word is scripture.
He is the word.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't understand all the details, but I believe what it says.
Absolutely.
And that's what you ought to do. Whether you can explain it or know all the details, you need to believe what the book says.
That's right.
Okay, verse 13. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh desolation and dry like a wilderness. Nineveh and Assyria connected here with Nimrod. Nimrod practiced Nineveh. Assyria and Nineveh. They practiced the idolatry of Nimrod. You know who Nimrod is back in Genesis. Look at Isaiah 23:13. See what that says.
Did you say, Brother Isaiah 13?
Isaiah 23:13. That's something to do with Assyria. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it. For them that dwell in the wilderness, they set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. And he brought it to ruin. Now this Assyrian, you know, in our studies, this Assyrian is one of three types of the Antichrist in the Bible. He's one of the main types or pictures of the Antichrist in the Bible, this Assyrian. It's probably Nimrod back in Genesis. Now, Nimrod was the son of Cush. It's an Ethiopian people, son of Cush. That word Cush means black. The Ethiopians were black. Egypt is in Africa. Genesis 10:8, real quick, we'll look at that. Genesis 10. And Cush begot, there he is, Nimrod. That's the man. That's the one, that's the Antichrist. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, you remember when we studied Genesis, he wasn't a game hunter. He didn't hunt game. He hunted men. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of a hunter he was. He hunted men. I don't know if he did it for bounty or for sport or what, but he was a man hunter. Verse 11. Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. Now the Assyrians, a picture of the Assyrian who will be here when Jesus Christ comes at the second advent. Now the Antichrist will be, you remember in our studies in the past, he'll be an Assyrian Jew. Everybody says, well, I believe Obama will be the Antichrist. No, he's not. He won't be the Antichrist. He's not an Assyrian. He's not a Jew. He'll be an Assyrian Jew. And you know he has to have Jewish blood in him, and he has to be a Jew because the Jews won't receive him if he's not. If he's not a Jew, they won't receive him. Christ said, I came into my own, and you receive me not. There's one cometh after me. Him ye will receive. That's the Antichrist. So he'll have to be a Jew, but he's going to be from Assyria.
Obama will be the one announcing.
I don't know. I don't know all the details, but I know he's probably around right now. Right. He's probably on the scene right now.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
He's building a war chest for him.
What do you say, brother?
He's building a war chest for him.
Oh, yeah. Getting it ready. Okay. The north, that's Assyria. Mm-hmm. They're talking about Assyria. Now, today, that's the land of Iraq. That's the land of Iraq today, Assyria is. And you know, Iraq is 100% Muslim. 100% Muslim. Syria, Lebanon, and Turkey are 100% Muslim. And all the judgments that these minor prophets here are talking about are going to come against Muhammad's followers. That's what it's going. All these judgments are going to come against them. Verse 14. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations. Both the cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. The cormorant and the bittern. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. If you know your Bible, you know Nineveh repented at preaching Jonah, a 9-word message, I believe it was, and they repented. They went for 200 years, and then they got wicked again, and God destroyed them. That place was tore up, plowed up. They said when the latter armies went in there, you couldn't even recognize where Nineveh used to be. I mean, it was just heaps, ruins. But now, it was somewhere in Iraq. It became a desolation for unclean birds here. That's what it's going to be. Leviticus 11 talks about unclean birds and beasts. Now, this matches Babylon when it's judged. When Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, when that place is judged, these things are mashing up here. Look at Isaiah 13:19. Anybody know whose Bible this was? This is?
Yours right now.
Huh?
Yeah. Yours right now.
Bethel's right now.
Yeah.
Isaiah 13:19.
You know, at verse 17 there of the same chapter there talks about they can't be bought with silver and gold. And, you know, that's always been the leverage that's I guess, deferred any action from being taken. God sits right here and says, these ain't for sale. They're going to come. Could be ISIS.
Huh?
That same chapter they're talking about, 17 down through 19, said, I'll stir up the Medes against them which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it.
Yeah. Right.
Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces.
Yeah.
That sound like the sword of the Lord to me.
They're warmongers. That's what they're going to enjoy doing. 19, and Babylon. We're in Isaiah 14, 19. Mm-hmm. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellently shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. That's pretty rough judgment
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
It shall never be inhabited. Now, that's not talking about now. It's inhabited now. Iraq's inhabited now. But this place is going to be tore up so bad, in a millennium, it's not even going to be inhabited.
All right.
It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there.
Mm.
Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there.
Mm.
And you know, the science says no such thing as a satyr. According to the Bible, they're saved. There's such a thing. Now, the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons. Dragons? No such thing as a dragon. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they even changed the Bible to take the word dragons out, change them to hippopotamus or alligator, crocodiles, you know, anything but believe the book. If you don't believe it and don't like it, they just change it.
Right.
And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. So Iraq, something's going to happen in Iraq, and you know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going. You remember when we studied over in Idumea, the land of Idumea during the millennium? That place is going to be burning pitch. You remember we studied that a while back? That's going to be the lake of fire on this planet. And people in the millennium that get out of line, that's where they're going to be thrown into bodily. You remember we studied that a while back? That's what this is talking about here. The Qumran and Bitrin. Nineveh was the capital of Syria. It's in Iraq. Becomes a desolate place of unclean birds and beasts. It matches Babylon when it's judged. Look at Isaiah 13. Look at Zechariah 14. Isaiah 14, 22 and 23. Now, it's talking about a judgment coming upon a piece of land here, or a country. And there's going to be some kind of creatures living in that place. People ain't going to inhabit it. And you know what it's talking about. We looked at that a while back. It's a lake. It's a literal lake of fire on the planet in the millennium. Isaiah 14, 22 and 23. Seems like we got read that. Have we read that?
Hmm? Not today, with.
No, maybe last week.
The last verse of Isaiah also talks about that fire.
Possibly we could have had last week.
I got in bed at 5 o'clock this morning, got up at 7:30, so if I'm a little scattered, you know why.
That's almost as bad as going to bed at 5:45 and getting up 5:45. almost.
Like working night shift at Dial Man.
Yeah, I know.
Isaiah 14, 22 and 23. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name, the remnant, the son, the nephew, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That place is going to be wiped out. I will also make it a possession for the bitrin and pools of water, and I will sweep it with a besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Now these creatures here that we're talking about, they say, what birds, bitrins, cormorants, owls, what are they doing being thrown in the lake of fire? What's an owl ever done against God? They just follow their nature. Cormorant, bitterns. These are not physical creatures like you know, as like the animals. These things are called doleful creatures. Doleful creatures. Look at Isaiah 34. Now, we've been over this before, but we're going to look at it again. Isaiah 34 shows you it's not physical creatures like a regular bird. Now, you know what a bird is in Scripture. You know what they're representative of, don't you? Huh? Devils. Yeah, demons, devils. That's what birds are representative of in the Bible. Look at Isaiah 34, 9 and 10. Isaiah 39. And the streams thereof shall be turned into what? Pitch. This place is on fire. And the dust thereof into brimstone. This place is burning. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. Mm-hmm. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever.
Read that next verse.
Where are we? We're in Isaiah 14.
No, 34.
34. 10. Okay, 9 and 10. 11. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. Now, that's not a normal bird like you know. Them things are in fire. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. The thorns, 13. The thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof. That's the area around that thing. And it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. The great owl make her nest. Now, that's not animals like you know it. That's a picture of devils, of demons that's cast into that thing. They're existing alive there. There are unclean spirits. Look at Mark 4, 3 and 4. Look at Mark chapter 4, 3 and 4. That's what's over there. Somewhere in Iraq, that thing's going to be set up for the millennium. Devils are going to be thrown into that thing. And people who get out of line in the millennium will be thrown out. I heard a preacher say a few months back that when people are casting that thing in the millennium, that they're going to be cast in physical and they're going to be alive in that fire. And I heard a guy say they're going after they burn a while, I said the Lord may let them out and give them a second chance out of that one. I've never heard that before. And I can't prove it, but that could be possible in the millennium. But now, after the great white throne judgment over in Revelation 20, when those people are cast in the lake of fire, they don't ever get a second chance. They can't come out. They won't ever get out. And I'm not sure they'll get out in the millennium, but I heard a guy that's well-versed in the Bible. I heard him teach that and mention that. But that was new to me. All right. Unclean spirits, Mark 4, 3 and 4. Mark 4, 3 and 4. Mark chapter 4, 3 and 4. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground. All right, when the sun was dried up. Now he tells you what this is. He explains this here, 13:15. And he said to them, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, look at it real close, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word that was wrought in their hearts. These birds are pictures of demoniac beings stealing the word. And they're likened to birds. Okay, we're about out of time. Let's get verse 15. We'll finish this chapter. We'll be ready for chapter 3. Month after next. Scotty will be back up next week. Zephaniah chapter
2, verse 15.
That's one reason we're to wear the armor and shield to guard against the devil. Take the word out of our hearts.
True.
To keep us.
Right. This is the rejoicing city that dwelleth carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. You ever heard that before? Does that remind you of something over Revelation?
Yeah.
That remind you of that city over there in Revelation, bragging about its greatness? And the Lord destroys it in 24 hours. And the merchants cry and stand off and watch it burn, and they cry because they got rich off that place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that city is? It's Rome.
Right.
Yeah, Rome.
Vatican. That's what it is over there in Rome. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me.
Mm.
How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Every one that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. Now, this Nineveh here, this place is talking about here, it's in Iraq, but it's also Assyria and Nineveh being destroyed is also, it's likened to that same destruction over in the book of Revelation when Rome is destroyed. They're likened about the same thing. Same kind of picture, same judgment. Like Israel, the rejoicing city, it's a picture of Babylon the Great when it's judged. Now, you know Nineveh was judged. It was destroyed 200 years after Jonah preached. It's in Iraq. That place is going to be destroyed again in the millennium. I mean, at the second advent. But there's another city that's going to be destroyed. If you've read your Bible, we don't have time to get into it, but it's over in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 17 is the... Revelation 17 is talking about the city, and Revelation 18 is talking about the church. The church and the city is connected, and it's destroyed just like this place is going to be destroyed. They're connected in the Scripture. We'll look at it real quick, and we have to quit. Revelation 18, 2. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, and has become the habitation of, look at it, devils. Habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful, look at it real close, bird. Verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself. Remember that verse we just read a while ago? Rejoicing city. Rejoicing city. Revelation 18 said, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. She's going to get paid back for her wickedness. This city. This church. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow. And shall see no sorrow. Boy, that's bragging, ain't it?
Yeah.
See no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day.
Right.
Death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her.
Amen.
So all this is on deck. It's coming up. Okay, we got to quit. You're dismissed.
Good teaching there, brother.
Good brother.
I'm borrowing a pen there, brother.
Yeah.
Good job.